You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
So this week we have two great guests. Our first guest is Anthony Angelini from Angelini Entertainment, and he's going to talk about all the nonprofits that he has helped out and also what he's doing over in Africa, which is really amazing. And then we have Susie Pruden, who is world-renowned, and she just started a brand new company, one of many, called Itty Bitty Publications, which I think you would really find fascinating.
So last Saturday, we went to the Pure Legacy Ball to benefit Pure Empowerment. Now, what Pure stands for is people understanding the relevance of evolving.
Yeah. And it was a great, it was the first annual, and the band performed, and it was just a great function. They gave away three scholarships for $1,000 each to
high school students graduating.
Yeah. And it was just a great, great time.
A group of people in their community, Palmdale, California, which is north of Los Angeles area, a group of people there, community leaders and teachers and parole officers and counselors and every nice group, you know, that you can put together for a healing process, were getting together to help high school students stay on the straight and narrow, get them out of gangs, get them off drugs, get them into a really great path. And so I love to see that communities are doing things like that, and you should find a way to do that in your community.
Yeah, we will definitely be attending next year.
And speaking of doing great community things, Clyde Terry and the Emerging Leaders, Tony, you got to go speak to those classmates.
Yeah, again, Clyde Terry has Emerging Leaders, and they have a class that runs about 8 weeks long. And what I did is I go there and I do a presentation. I talk about being a motivational musician, and I tell them little different stories, whatever comes to me at the time.
And let's say that Clyde's class is made up of people that are having a really hard time. They maybe either came out of prison recently, out of a drug rehab recently, hard on their luck, living on the streets. They come into that class from all different stressful life situations.
But I want to say that he has a 97% success rate for the past 4 years of people that have gone through his 8-week course, which is free,
mm-hmm.
which is free.
Donated time.
Yes.
By the sheriff's department people.
Do not go back to jail.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had this for like over four years.
The highest success rate in the country.
Yeah.
Second to Miami, which I think had a 17% success rate. And he's in his 90s.
Yeah.
And this is a bunch of guys that volunteered to help people change their life. Love it. Clyde Terry, Emerging Leaders. You should totally look him up.
Yeah, we're going to have him on again. I told him, I says that...
it's time.
It's time to do another interview with you. He was on about a year ago. Because you've evolved quite a bit, and now you're a nonprofit, so people can actually support you. So.
And he's retiring from the police department to be able to do this full time. He's been doing it about 5 years now.
Yeah.
Excellent. Way to go, Clyde. We love you.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
Well, I have some happy news to report. Charitable giving hits a record high. Americans gave $358 billion to charity last year, the fifth year in a row that generosity has increased over the previous year, marking it as an all-time high. So that's $3 billion more than the previous record set in 2007. And if you factor in the amount of time that U.S. people volunteer every year, Americans are tied for first as the most charitable people on this planet per capita.
Woo! Wow.
You go.
Congratulations, America.
That's really an awesome, awesome little title to have.
Especially for the 4th of July weekend.
How about that? The Giving USA Foundation reports more than 1 million Americans' charities received a share of those contributions. Most of the money, $258 billion of it, came from individuals. So, you know, I think this is a fine time to be an American. And congratulations to all of us. And keep up the good work.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
Remind yourself that it's okay not to be perfect.
Remind yourself that it's okay not to be perfect.
You know, you learn a lot of things when you realize you're not perfect. Because if you were perfect, there'd be nothing to learn, not about yourself or anything around you. So it's probably actually a really good thing to not be perfect, because it gives you the opportunity to learn.
Well, you know, I feel like there is perfection in imperfection.
Ah, yes. Very good point.
You know, within imperfection, there is perfection. So it's looking at things through different eyes and accepting who you are or situations, and then you can start seeing perfection within it.
I like it. So remind yourself that it's okay not to be perfect.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
And we are back, and we're so delighted today to have with us Anthony Angelini. Hi, Anthony. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You know, we are so delighted to have you on our show because we love to feature people that are doing really great things in the world. And you have something really cool coming up that I want to talk about. But first, I want to say that you are part of a family business, and we are family here, so we're delighted to know about that. Family business being Angelini Trading Company. You're also the president of Angelini Entertainment, and you are on the board of A New Dimension of Hope. So you've got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, I'm a busy guy.
That's what happens to entrepreneurs, isn't it? Tell me about your family business briefly and your entertainment side, and then how you got to be involved in a certain something happening in Africa.
Okay, well, my family business is Angelini Trading Company. We're an import-export company, and we import Benevento wine from Italy. And it's just this amazing wine. We're the only ones who have it. It's 90-point rated, and it comes straight from my family's hometown in Italy, where my cousin runs the side of the business over there. And I'm the one that does all of the events for the wine. So if we do a wine tasting, or if there's a party and they want to get sponsored by the wine, or if somebody wants me to come and talk about it, then I'm the guy that goes and does all these events.
Fun.
So I started Angelini Entertainment, which is another company that exclusively does nonprofit events and features the wine in it as like a side thing. So we did a big Grammy party this year with like 500 people, and most recently I just did an art show with Sonia Levitin, the novelist.
Nice.
She's a Holocaust survivor, and she's not famous for her paintings. She's famous for her novels. Mm. But I convinced her to let me show some of her paintings for one night only at an art show, and it was a huge success. We had a lot of cool people there. It was
excellent.
Like really cool. So that's what I do. I'm kind of an event producer and a fundraiser, and all of the events that I produce go at least a little bit for charity, if not all for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit on the board of A New Dimension of Hope,
and
they
that?
Love that.
Tell me about New Dimension of Hope, because you were talking about something really special that literally you are leaving for in the next few days.
Well, A New Dimension of Hope, I just got on board this year. Last year, or in 2012, they raised the money to build a school in Liberia, where the founder is from. And it's a really tight-knit group. There's only about 5 people involved in the organization. And they raised the money to build a school, and they did it. The school is built. It's done. It was completed in late 2012. And the situation in Liberia is such where there's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got done with a 20-year civil war. And then, as soon as that ended, Ebola hit. And that was basically ground zero for Ebola was that area. And so every single school in Liberia was closed for at least 6 months. And our school never even got the chance to open.
Wow.
So we had a school, when the organization came to me, they had a school that was built in Liberia with no teachers, not open. It was just sitting there. And the building was just empty. It was completely empty. So I got on board and I started fundraising a little bit, and we were so lucky to be able to get the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize winner, Lima Chaboy, and she supported us publicly to open the school, and we had a Kickstarter campaign, which is actually still, I think, running on Indiegogo, not Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was writing personal letters to some of the people that, as a perk to some of the people that donate to our Indiegogo campaign, which to me is a priceless thing.
Absolutely.
You know, you cannot just get a letter from a Nobel Peace Prize winner. That is just, if it's priceless, it's worth thousands of dollars, and she's doing it for, I think, $350 if you donate on our Indiegogo. She's writing you a personal letter, which I want her to write my college recommendation. that's it. I mean, so we got a lot of good publicity from that, because every lawyer, you know, wants a letter from a Nobel Peace Prize winner on their wall. You know, everybody wants that. You know, so it's just so cool that she was willing to do that for us, and she's been supporting us 100% through this whole endeavor. And we actually finished. We raised the money. We got a lot of large donations, and we raised the money to open the school.
And how much money were you trying to raise? What did you accomplish?
$15,000 to open the school and keep it running for the year.
It would only cost $15,000 to keep a school running for the year is like blows me away just by itself.
No, I know. And let me tell you what you get for the $15,000. In Liberia, you can hire a teacher, a principal, and feed 300 students 2 meals a day for the whole school year.
Wow. That's crazy. People should be throwing $15,000 at you every year in order to support this school for the rest of its lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. That's just the first year. We'll have to fundraise again to keep it running. But hopefully by that point it'll be self-sufficient, or at least, you know, we've had a lot of support from the government in the town that we're trying to do it in.
So you're expecting about 350 students to be able to go through that school every year?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
And that's a really crazy, like, number of students, because in the town that we're doing it in, none of the students can read or write or go to school. So we'll be able to help all of the students in the town, which is Troya Town.
Okay.
And we'll be able to help some of the students from neighboring villages as well.
That's really excellent. And so you're leaving, you're going to go July 7th.
Yeah, I'm leaving July 7th. I've had all my shots.
That's part of the brain damage, is having to get all these crazy shots in order to go to Africa. We were just talking to somebody recently who asked me to go to Africa on another mission type thing, and the list of shots that were required is crazy.
I know. I've had at least 5 shots, and then plus I had to take pills, and I actually almost caught typhoid fever. I had a bad reaction to one of the pills.
Oh, my.
And so I gave myself typhoid fever pretty much, but no, I didn't. I'm just kidding.
That can't be good.
No.
So what happens when you get there? Like, what's the plan of action? You're going to be there 16 days, which is a pretty long time. So what are you going to be doing?
Well, when we get there, first of all, it's going to take us a couple days just to get there. So we're going through London, then we're going to Accra in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to Monrovia. I will probably end up staying in a hotel in Monrovia because the town is about 3 hours away.
Okay.
And I don't really know yet what the situation is in the town, but When we get there, what we'll need to do is we have a whole system set up to hire teachers. We need a principal there. We have a lot of people that we're looking at, and we've basically done it already, but...
So you're going there to get the school staffed, is basically what you're doing.
Yes.
And then,
get it staffed, get the students aware of it. I'm an event guy, you know, so yeah. I love to make everything an event. So what I'm going to try to do is do maybe a grand opening thing. I want to put the first book on the shelf at the school.
Cool.
And I want to make it into like an event. Because that's what I'm good at. That's what I like to do. So
well, and it'll be celebrating a brand new life for these people in that community. So I think it's totally worthy of having a spectacular event go on. You know, and they'll feel the love, and they'll know that what you guys are doing is to benefit them. And absolutely, an event will call attention to exactly what's going on, and probably create enough buzz for those who were skeptical about sending their kids to this school to understand the benefit of it.
Right. Yeah. And see, that's a lot of the problem. See, our organization believes that education is the root of all solutions.
Beautiful. So
if there's Ebola, the solution, I mean, of course it's doctors and stuff, but the solution to that is education. We need to tell people about how to avoid it, or we need to educate the population on what it is, or mm-hmm. any problem, not just Ebola, economics, social problems,
life, just how to live.
Enough education.
Yeah, and it gives all these people a chance at a whole different type of a life, because once they get educated in their town, in their school, now they have the ability to go out into their other towns and communities in their country and create a whole new life for themselves. What does the average person, what does the average child do in a day? Do they work farms, or what is it that they actually do right now in place of going to school?
You know, I mean, I think it really depends. The village that we're going to is very, there's not a lot of, like, merchants. You know, most people are basically just out trying to feed themselves by any means necessary.
Yeah, trying to exist.
Right. I know that in the cities in Liberia, there's merchants, and it's a little bit better, and we're going to a very rural area, third world of the third world.
Right. I totally know what you're saying there. There's a lot of those areas in Africa, actually, quite a few.
Yeah.
And that's why things like Ebola spread so much, because there's no education there to teach people how not to have these types of things spread. I think it's great that you guys are putting this together, and, you know, you're at the level of launch time. I think that's just amazing. What can people do to help you and support you for this trip? I know we only have a few days before you head out, but there's still time for people to throw some money your way, or, you know, help you get the word out. Or what can people do to give you a hand to make this school a success?
Well, we still have our Indiegogo, which is running, and I think it will be we'll just keep it continually running.
And how do they get to that?
So I think it's called ND Hope's School Building Project.
Okay, great.
And all you have to do is look up Indiegogo or look up our foundation on Google, and it's probably the first thing that shows up.
So look up a New Dimension of Hope Foundation. And
absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and then because what I want to do is encourage our listeners to help you get the next $15,000 for next year going, and keep this an ongoing charity thing through Humanitarian Radio to help support the school in Liberia. I think this is a really, really strong, powerful statement that you're making to people here in America, that you can make a difference in the world by doing some just really simple things in our everyday life to raise some money and change the lives of a whole community.
I 100% agree, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. I want to make one other little comment in another direction. As far as the trading company goes, Benevento, we have a lot of listeners from Benevento, as Tony's family is from Benevento. So,
wow, really?
For us to meet you the night that we did meet you at an event, it was quite amazing that you were serving that wine, because we had just returned from that city not long before and have an extreme amount of family members there that listen to this show. I also wanted to mention that that company won a 2014 best olive oil in the world you guys are carrying. And
that, oh, yeah, our olive oil is amazing.
That is a pretty huge statement, to be the best olive oil in the world, because there's a gazillion kinds of olive oil out there when you go shopping. And to receive the best in the world, I can only imagine. I'm definitely going to try some of that myself.
I'll send you some.
Yeah, excellent. Love that idea. You know, I'm with an Italian guy here from Benevento, so obviously olive oil is important in our life.
Right, of course.
And so you guys started this family business based on one relative being in Italy and the other one being in Los Angeles, two cousins that decided that they were going to make this bridge between fine Italian goods. And I think that's really a cool thing for two cousins to develop from two different countries.
It wasn't an overnight thing. They were begging my dad to do it for years, and he finally, I turned 18, and then he was like, you know what, let's just do this. I don't need to, I can start my own business now. You're on your own. and he finally said, okay, we can start a business.
Wow. Cool. So it's been a couple years now, right? You've had that company going?
Yeah. It's been about 2 years since we started the company, and it took us about a year just to get the permits.
Sure.
To do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just taken off. I mean, we've launched like in every store in the Denver airport, and in like hundreds of restaurants in the LA area, and we're all over the. We've just blown up recently. So
You're really allowing Americans to get an authentic taste of Italy. And I got to say, if you're in America and you haven't been to Italy before, anything coming out of Benevento is going to be 100% authentic Italian. And I recommend it highly after spending 3 weeks there and eating with, you know, the authentic Italian people and family of ours. There's nothing like what they do in that town. And for you guys to be bringing that to America, I think is just such a treat and such a delight for those of us here who haven't had the chance to go over and experience that firsthand.
I really appreciate it. Well, you got to come back and you got to stay in my house. And my cousin will drive you around. You won't pay for anything.
You know, your cousins are probably related to Tony's cousins.
Probably.
You guys are probably all family.
If they're not related, they'll just say that they're related.
Right. Just because they love.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, we really hope that you have a great, great trip. We're so happy and proud of what you're doing for this community. And absolutely would love you to come back when you return from your trip and let us know how it went. And take some pictures and send them back to us. We'll put them on the Humanitarian Radio .com so that people can see exactly what it was like and experience what you got to experience.
Oh yeah, I'll send photos and everything. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, give us a call when you get back into town and let's hear all about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, honey. It's been an awesome talk, and we'll talk to you again really soon. Travel safe.
All right. Bye.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests. And this week the song I chose is Breaking All the Rules That Were Meant to Be Broken. Anthony has proven that him and his friends can come together and create something in a different country that others might think was impossible. But yet they set the bar very high and have been able to achieve greatness. So this is Breaking All the Rules That Were Meant to Be Broken.
Said he never lived, recently he did. Oh no, said she's too young. Look at what she's done. I can't say, you can't say. It's within all past reach.
Oh no, we got to teach it. We're breaking all the rules, breaking all the rules, breaking all the rules now. Meant to be broken. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Breaking all the rules, breaking all the rules, breaking all the rules now. Meant to be broken. Yeah. They thought we never fly. Giggles through the night. Now we bounce around the moon. Amazing what the mind can do. Limitation of imagination. Decrease destination. They can't do this, can't do that. Oh, we're breaking all their rules. Breaking all their rules. Breaking all their rules now. Meant to be broken. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're breaking all their rules. Breaking all their rules. Breaking all their rules now. Meant to be broken. Yeah. I told you we are limitless. Would you sit or would you run with it? Break them rules, yeah. Breaking all their rules, breaking all their rules, breaking all their rules now. Meant to be broken, meant to be broke, meant to be broken.
Once again, that is Breaking All the Rules That Were Meant to Be Broken by Saint Tone. You can check out some more music by Saint Tone at www.saintone.com. That's sainttone.com.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. July 9th is a mastermind in Irvine, California. July 11th and the 19th, check out Energize Your Vibes in Newberry Park, California. July 22nd to the 29th is Insight Meditation Retreat in Barre, Massachusetts. July 22nd to August 30th is the Hortus Festival in Amsterdam, Holland. July 24th to the 26th, Pure Living Expo, Sedona, Arizona. And July 30th to August 2nd is the Fruits and Health in Slovenia, Europe. Lots of exciting things to do this month.
And if you have an event that you want to share with us, just go to our Facebook, Humanitarian Radio, or go to humanitarianradio.com and let us know about it. Also, if you want to learn more information about any of these events, go to our events page at humanitarianradio.com. And so we're back with Susie Pruden. Susie, how are you doing today?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking.
You know, I know that this interview is something that, after reviewing what you have done in your life, there's definitely not enough time to talk about everything you've done. But I really want our listeners to get a feel for who you are and what you've done in the past. Can you just give us some type of a synopsis? Because I know it's tough.
A brief overview of 50 years of being in the public eye.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, the way I started my TED Talk is the way I'll start this talk, and that most people, when they listen to a person speaking, will hear a rags-to-riches story. I don't have that story. I was born rich. I was born very rich. I had no idea how rich we were, because I was also told that we didn't have any money, but when you're picked up from school by the chauffeur and taken to your riding lessons twice a week, or to your art lessons, or to your dance lessons. And you spend your summers at various houses that your family owns in different parts of the country, or your spring vacation in Florida because your family owns a house there. And I was brought up just right outside New York in Westchester County, and then moved into New York City when I was 13, and then went to boarding school, and then went to college, and everything, I had everything. There wasn't anything I didn't have. I was crazy about horses, so I had horses. I wanted to go study in Europe, so I went and studied in Europe. And then at the age of 19, my mother made the mistake of telling me I couldn't date the boy I was dating, so I married him. Mm. And it was a very big brouhaha in my family, but I figured, okay, you know, why not? I mean, I don't do well with no. I don't do well with no at all. Tell me no, and I'll do it anyway. And that's really been a good thing in business, because people have said, you can't do that. And I won't say it out loud, but my attitude is, yeah, watch me. And so after I married my husband, then he went back to school, so I had to support him. And during that time, I worked at various silly jobs, like a teletype operator, a file clerk, a gal Friday. And then when I was 22, I was fired from one of my jobs because the owners wanted their best friend to have that job, so I was fired. And I thought, I don't really want to work for anybody else anymore. My husband was still in school. So we got the bright idea, we'll open up an art gallery in Lenox, Massachusetts. And I had gone to school there, so we rented a barn. We got art on consignment. We spent the summer in Lenox, Massachusetts, right by Tanglewood, running an art gallery, and we made money. And then we came back to New York, decided to have a baby. Now he's still in school, and I'm not working. And so I thought, well, my mother's the nation's foremost fitness authority. She started the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. I know how to teach exercise. I'll teach exercise. Hmm. And no one wanted to take exercise classes. This is in 1965, by the way. There was maybe one other exercise studio in New York City. And so I did. And I asked my mother if I could use her name. She was famous, and I'm not stupid. And she said yes. And so I used her name. It got me into many, many doors, coming through doors. But it was up to me to stay in the room.
Right.
And I was very good at what I did. And I started in Greenwich Village in my apartment, 5 flights up. And I figured people got in shape just walking up the stairs to work out with me.
Right. That's your treadmill.
Yeah, exactly. And then we moved to the Upper West Side, and I got a little studio on the Upper West Side for a couple of days a week, for an hour here, an hour there. And a woman called me and said, do you teach 2-year-olds? And I said, no, but I have a 2-year-old. And I teach him. So she said, well, would you teach 2-year-olds? I said, yes. You bring me the 2-year-olds, and I'll teach them. And then I called my mother, and I said, what do I do? She said, keep them busy. And that's how I started my very, very famous Susie Pruden Studios. I mean, I had been in business for a couple of years, eking out a living, so to speak. But now I had a program for 2-year-olds, which wasn't being done. And people thought I was weird in the beginning. Everything I do, they think I'm weird in the beginning. And then the school started calling me saying, what are you doing? The kids that come out of your school are more educable than those that don't go to your school. And it became a prerequisite that if you wanted your child at age 3 to get into a good nursery school in New York City, you sent them to Susie Pruden first.
Wow.
So I had, yeah, it was really quite phenomenal because I could teach 2-year-olds. And you have to change when you're teaching 2-year-olds. You have to change the activity for them every 15 seconds. So you can't let them sit in the corner and, you know, they don't sit. They don't concentrate. They're active. They're all over the place. So in order for me to keep their attention, I had to change the exercise or the song or whatever it was we were doing every 15 seconds. And in the beginning, I could hold their attention for 20 minutes. By the time I sold my school in 1983, I could teach a full hour class of 2-year-olds, and they would be riveted to whatever it was that I was teaching them for a full hour.
That's
and
amazing.
So I learned by teaching them.
Now, would you and say, then, I was going to say real quick, is it because these kids, I mean, would you say today kids' attention span is much less because of the internet and because we're being bombarded by so many things and advertisements constantly. It's that much harder from when it was?
I don't know, because I'm not teaching two-year-olds. But I know I'm brilliant enough to learn how to teach them.
Gotcha.
I have no doubts about my ability to adapt to whatever it is I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I want that thing to adapt to me. I have to adapt to it.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like people who want to create change, and they stand up in front of a raging river and they say, stop. Well, it's not going to happen. So my attitude is get in the river, swim like crazy, and then begin to move everything slightly to one way or the other if you want to change it.
That's a great analogy.
That's how I... Pardon me?
I said that's a great analogy.
Well, it works.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of my son's friends was talking to me about changing things in his school and stuff. He said, I've got to tell him this, and I've got to tell him that, and I've got to tell him this. I said, no, what you've got to do is be exactly what you want them to see is the better way. And from your example, they have the opportunity to move towards it. But otherwise, you're going to get creamed. And he said, oh, I never thought of that. I said, no, you have to. It's like Gandhi. Be the change you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you be it. And I've always been it, whatever the it was. When, you know, I joke around saying I was born rich and it took me 47 years to lose everything so I could have a rag-to-riches story. And that's exactly what happened, is that after I sold my business and divorced my husband, I was a little bit out of my mind and didn't know what I wanted to do. And being rich and famous is very heady, and you tend not to pay attention. At least I did. I had no guidance, and so I just basically spent all my money. I made up a lot of new programs. I decided that exercise, I didn't want to do that anymore, so I created body-mind technology programs. I just made it up, and it worked. And that's what I do with everything. I make it up and it works, because I don't think I'm making it up by myself. I have a very strong spiritual connection, and I really believe that God, the universe, whatever you want to call the force, as they do in Star Wars, is part of all of us, and I just listen. And so I was guided to do body-mind stuff, and I did. Then I moved out to California and found out, and met Louise Hay, and I met Deepak Chopra, and we're all doing the same things, only we all got it from different places. Same place, but in different parts of the country. And then I wrote the book Meta Fitness, and Hay House published it. And I got myself on Oprah, and it was a very, very heady experience. I'd actually worked with Oprah several times before she became the Oprah that she became. And 8 months later, I was homeless because I wasn't paying attention and I had no guidance, and I just basically, you know, did stupid things and ended up losing all my money and ending up without a home. But I managed to live homeless in a very unique way, in that it was never in my car. I always had a place to stay. The second night that I was out on my own with my stuff in storage and me in my car, I was at the La Jolla Hyatt because I was speaking there the next day, the keynote speaker for Scripps Hospital. And so it's a dichotomy, because here I was, I had no money, I was homeless, and because I was famous, and because I was who I was, Susie Pruden, this fitness guru, and this body-mind guru, with CDs, that, we didn't have CDs, with tapes and all this, books and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
I was invited to speak all over the world, but mostly in the United States at that time. And so here I was, I had no money, I had no home, and yet I was applauded wherever I went because I was this famous person who made a difference. Just I couldn't manage my life. And I finally began to learn how to manage my life and got myself back on my feet. And a couple of miracles happened at that time. A lawsuit that I had with Studio 54, because I had a fall there in the early 80s, all of a sudden came through. We weren't even in negotiation, it just all of a sudden my lawyer called me and said, do you remember that lawsuit that we had 10 years ago? I said, yes.
Wow.
He said, well, Studio 54 is cleaning up their act because they're going out of business, and we just got, I don't know, $30,000+, and I'm sending you a check for $18,000. And that's kind of the stuff that would happen to me.
Well, those are great things to happen.
But it was unbelievable. I remember when I was living in California and moved out here in 85, and again, struggling, but I was okay, but I was still, I didn't know who I was or what I was doing. And a company called me and offered me a job to be a spokesperson out of the blue and offered me $30,000. And I said, thank you, I'll take it. And I traveled around the country being a spokesperson for a while. I mean, these are the kinds of things that happen to me all the time. And then they stopped. And that's when the universe basically told me, excuse me, you have to do a little work on yourself if we're going to support you going forward. We support you totally, but you've got to do some work now. So those years when I was homeless and then the build up, the build back, I really had to work, and I took workshops. I mean, I talked to God all the time. Okay, God, where do you want me? What do you want me doing? And that's the question I always asked. And then I started asking, okay, how do I make money? And then I started getting opportunities to build me back. And I opened up a franchise with a friend of mine in weight loss. I became a hypnotherapist. We specialized in hypnotherapy for weight loss. I had that for 10 years until 2008. And we made a lot of money. We made a huge difference. I worked with thousands of people. And all during this time, I spoke, and I'm on a balancing act. You know, it's an interesting thing because I never stopped working. I never stopped doing something, and I constantly made things up to take myself to a higher level.
It sounds like though that a lot of the things that you were doing were obviously empowering other people and helping others. So you were constantly,
always.
Sounds like you were constantly in service. So while you were working and you were making this money, you were constantly serving others and helping them better achieve their goals or empower them to be able to do what they wanted to do also. So it was a win-win situation all the way around, it seems like.
That's my belief, that selling is service. Mm-hmm. That when you sell somebody something, you are selling them something that is going to serve them. And one of the reasons I'm good in business and good in sales is because that's my underlying belief. And that you sell with integrity, compassion, and honesty, and you live up to your word.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about me. That, you know, it's like if you live with yourself, you got to like yourself.
And that's a hard thing to find in business, you know, to have someone be that truthful and really believe in what they're doing, you know, and selling, and especially these days, you know. So
yeah, I'm finding it interesting. There's some people that are really, I won't go near because I know they don't have integrity, and then there's some people that I gravitate to immediately because I know they do have it. And unfortunately, you know, I've been burned. I'm sure most people have in some way. And it's always unfortunate. It's always an owie. And it's very sad when that happens. But it's not going to happen through my work. And so I sleep well at night. Let me put it that way.
And that's
There's
a great thing.
There's a lot of people that I wonder how they sleep because of the way they run their affairs. But I sleep well at night.
And let me just say, that's a great thing because there's a lot of people that I've been burned, like you said, and you've been burned. And you start saying, do I continue to trust? Do I put up a wall? And it's like, well, if you put up a wall, then you're not going to be able to see all the ones that you can trust. So you have to be able to trust again. You know, you have to be able to let go.
Trust is a very interesting word in that I have learned to trust people to be exactly who they are. So if I come up against someone who shows me their dark side, so to speak. And then people will say to me, well, you can't trust that person. I say, no, that's not true. I can trust that person to be exactly who they are. So when that dark side shows up, I'll go, uh-huh, that's part of that person. And not look for the light, so to speak, and pretend that the dark isn't there.
That's really interesting. I like
a
that.
A friend of mine, I was in business with somebody. We had a terrible, terrible parting of the ways. And it was uglier than my divorce. It was unbelievably ugly. And afterwards, I decided that I wanted that it was important for me to reconnect with this person on a personal level and put that other stuff behind. So I did. And somebody said to me, "You cannot trust that person." I said, "Yes, I can. I can trust them to be both of those people that showed up. And when the one that doesn't work for me shows up, I immediately point it out and I distance myself." Hmm. And what that person eventually did say to me was interesting. She said, "You know, there's a part of me that gets out of control and gets very mean and nasty." I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "I don't always see it, but I don't want to be it. If I'm in that place, can I send you the letter I'm about to send to somebody that's going to eviscerate them, and you tell me if I should send it or not?" And I did.
That's great. That's great. At least she's recognizing it to say, "Hey, I get into this really mean person, and I don't want to be that person. Can you be my gatekeeper?" Pointed out. That's great for her. So she's trying.
It was great for both of us because I could. But she was funny. She called me one day. She said, "You know that letter you told me not to send?" I said, "Yes." "And you told me what would happen if I sent it?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I sent it, and exactly what you told me would happen happened." I said, "Well, maybe the next time you won't send it." She said, "I think I better start listening." I said, "That's probably a good idea."
You're like, "You're asking for guidance. I'm here to give it to you. But if you still want to go down that path."
But that's, you know, we all do that.
Exactly.
And this is an amazing journey. And we all have our wonderful successes. And we all have our wonderful failures. And you really learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. Your successes. Failure is not a bad thing. The only time failure is a bad thing is when you live in it. In other words, it's like, "Oh, poor me, poor me, poor me." Yeah, you had a moment when you fall flat on your face and it hurts. So get up and get back into life and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about what you're doing currently, because obviously you had an extensive career being in TV. You've been an author of 12 books. But let's talk about your itty bitty books right now. That's something that you're currently doing.
I am so excited about itty bitty books. My sister and I have been writing books together for a long time. And over the holidays, she was staying with me. She came for 2 days and she stayed 10. It was funny because we were just going to have, you know, play around. So we were looking at one of our books that we'd written together. It was called Itty Bitty, Susie Pruden's Itty Bitty Weight Loss Book. And they said, "You know, this is a terrible cover, and it's too long, and it's too this, and let's change it." So she created a whole new cover, and the cover was great. And then she said, "We have to take out Susie Pruden." Now, you have to understand, I have been that Susie Pruden for 50 years.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, we're taking that Susie Pruden away, and for the first time in 50 years, I don't have my name on either a book or a company. We've opened up a new company, S&P Productions. That's for Susie and PD. PD is my sister. And so she showed me the cover, and it said, "The Amazing Itty Bitty Weight Loss Book." Now we've changed it to "Your Amazing Itty Bitty Weight Loss Book." And there was a moment when I had this glitch. Oh! You know, my name isn't there. And then I thought, wow, wait a second. That's important. My name isn't there. And I looked at her and I said, "Petey, we have a brand. We could do itty-bitty books on every single subject. We can be the new dummies, only instead of a dummies book, which is 350 pages that you have to read with a yellow highlighter, we can have a publishing company that's the yellow highlights." And wow. In that moment, a new business was born, itty-bitty book. We trademarked it. We took got a new corporation. I mean, we did, and then we started marketing it. And within 3 months, we had 6-7 authors. And now I think we have about 30 and growing. And all the books are exactly the same. They're all 15 steps to whatever it is. So for the book that we started with was 15 steps to losing weight and keeping it off, because I had the weight loss center. And now we have an astrology book, for example. I say from astrology to zoology, from A to Z. So we have an astrology book, 15 questions you may have about that are commonly asked about astrology.
Right.
And then so what we're doing is we're bringing to market itty-bitty books, little books that people have time to read, because no one has time to read. No one wants to read a big book, unless it's me, and that's a novel. I love big novels. But when it's a how-to book, I want just the facts. I want it simple. I want it easy to read. And I want to know exactly what I'm getting when I get the book. And so that's what we've created. I am more excited about this company, Itty Bitty Books, S&P Productions, than I have been about anything that I've done in my entire career, even when I had my own television show in New York, even when I was the reporter, the on-camera reporter for the Today Show, even when I did the Oprah Show. This is more exciting than anything I've ever done.
What do you think that makes it more exciting? I love the concept. I love the idea that you are creating something like this, because in today's time, we don't have enough time, and we are bombarded by so many things. We're in the instant gratification way of life. It's like, give me the remote control. I want to click through 500 channels to watch something that I'm only going to watch for 15 seconds. And,
right.
You know, we are constantly just being integrated by just things. So are you looking for any particular topics, or are you just leaving it wide open saying, hey, there's authors out there. We're just going to become the new, like you said, dummies series.
The dummies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I look for topics and they show up. For example, I wanted somebody who could teach social media, and I've been looking for it. And all of a sudden this week, the end of last week, I was interviewing somebody about an itty-bitty book, and she said, I want to do something on social media. I said, I want your book. And then I had somebody come to me and said, I want to do a book on QuickBooks. I said, fantastic. She said, I have to think about it. I said, please don't think too long. Somebody else is going to come to me with that topic. And 2 weeks later, somebody did, and this woman hadn't gotten back to me. And when she finally did, which was 4 weeks later, I said, it's gone. That topic, I told you, don't wait. So when someone comes to me with a topic, I said, if you're serious about it, don't wait, because someone else will come to me with this topic. So we have a wonderful book on safety. The gentleman who is in charge of construction, the safety of in construction for the largest building being built in America today, the new Apple building, in Northern California. It's bigger than the Pentagon. The Pentagon can fit in it. This man is in charge of all the safety. And so he wrote an itty-bitty safety book for construction workers, taking all the OSHA material that's like 5,000 pages and putting it into a 30-page book.
Wow, that's
amazing. I know,
amazing.
It is. It's amazing, and this happens all the time. We have a sales book. We have a lot of people who are in the financial industry. So, for example, we have one book is how to avoid being audited by the government, by the IRS. And she gives all the things that you have to do so that you're on the straight and narrow, but you're doing it in such a way where your business is working for you in such a way, and you're making money from it, and you will not be audited because you are paying attention to all the things you have to pay attention to.
That sounds
then we
amazing.
Have another person who wrote a book on how to set up your back office so that if you're an entrepreneur and you're new in business, you can set up your back office so that it runs perfectly. And then yesterday we just went to contract with a woman who opened a massage academy teaching massage therapists how to run their business, because they don't know. They're not taught how to run a business, they're just taught how to massage. So he's got hundreds of massage therapists all over the country, broke, brilliant at what they do, but don't know how to make money.
Right.
So she has a whole academy on, now she has an itty-bitty book on how to run a massage therapy business, because it's a business. It's not a hobby.
So where can
these
people...
These are the kinds of things we're doing.
Where can people find these books, and where can they find you?
Well, the site to go to right now is www.ittybittypublishing.com. ittybittypublishing.com. We are very, very new. Our books are just being put up there. And we are on Amazon. We're on Nook. We're on Kindle. We're on Smashwords, Kobo, B2D. And I'm going to be recording all of these books and putting them up on iTunes. We also work with Ingram Spark so that our authors can buy them. We don't want them to have to buy 1,000 copies, 50 copies at a time. We've got a wonderful deal with Ingram. And then as our site grows, we'll send more people. We're going to be blogging. All of our authors, this is wonderful, all of our authors must blog. It's a requirement in our contract. So twice a month, our authors blog so that our site stays very active and people constantly get new information. And then if anybody wants to write an itty-bitty book, then they can contact me at 310-640-8885, 310-640-8885. And I must say, we are a pay-to-play publishing house. You have to pay us to publish your book, but you do get a royalty of 50% once the book starts selling. And our contracts are, I love our contracts because we're fair. We always say everything has to be agreed to by author and publisher.
Excellent. Excellent. That is very exciting. I think it's something that that the world today can really use. I mean, it's definitely right in alignment with where everything's going. And if you can gather that much information and get all the details all in one shot, and like you said, you're not reading 300 to 500 pages, because most people look, I mean, think about it, most people look at a manual to a new program and go, oh my God, I'm always behind the eight ball. It's just constantly learning, learning, learning.
Well, the reason we set this up the way we set it up is because people don't have time and people don't want to read.
Right.
And people aren't trained to read anymore.
Right, right. You're absolutely right.
You know, I'm 71 years old. I have an education where I was trained to read. And my sister at 70, isn't this fun? I'm 71, she's 76, and we just started a new business.
I think that's great. You know, I have a song. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I have a song called Reinvent Your Life. And it's all about reinventing yourself at any age. I mean, I always use Grandma Moses as an example. She started painting at the age of 80. She lived to be 102, and she painted like 3,200 paintings, and she ended up in the Smithsonian Museum of Art. You know?
Yeah.
And here's a woman who started at the age of 80 painting.
Yeah, my mother started the final company that she had when she was 81.
Wow.
She died at 97, and she taught her final workshop 6 months before she died.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I have a phenomenal role model.
It sounds like it. And you know what? You are becoming an incredible role model for many others out there. So I appreciate everything that you're doing for people out there.
Thank you. My son said to me, he said, you know, Mom, sometimes when I really feel that I can't go on, I just think about how you've never allowed anything to stop you.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I have been stopped. And then I have to stop, regroup, and get back out there.
Well, I think you're doing a phenomenal job doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time in your busy schedule to update us on who you are and what you're doing. And I'm sure our audience is thrilled to hear all about this. Thanks again for being part of our show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.